The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
All right, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And just want to make a little announcement before we start that Homer's Saturday morning dance party is going to be postponed till next Saturday.
Oh, and I brought my dancing shoes on.
And you did.
I did. I was ready to dance.
How about that?
I was ready to dance.
By the way, that's my special guest this morning, Pat Kane. But Homer doesn't live too far away, and they've gotten so much snow that they haven't plowed yet, believe it or not. You look out our window here, and it's sunny, chilly, but he's snowed in, and I was reading the weather report from last night and this morning from areas around here that one part of an area may have gotten 7 inches of snow, and probably less than half a mile away got nothing.
Yeah,
and it was a band that went through, and you know, so
Again, I think weather is always a very hot topic for all of us because we watch it. It seems so scientific. So
Yeah. The
accuracy of it all. I mean, I see sometimes we're like at a Yankee game, they'll pull the guys off the field because there's a big band of rain coming in. And sure enough, it comes in and it's a good thing nobody was out there. Everybody got prepared for it. And then there's people like, oh, we're going to get this. And everybody runs to the grocery store, cleans the place out, gets all their stuff home. And what ends up happening? Nothing. But when I was a kid, which it seems not too long ago, we drive to my grandparents' house in Rochester. So going down the thruway towards Rochester, you drive into rain. And I mean, literally, like 5 minutes later, you drive out of rain.
Oh, yeah.
And it mystifies me how we haven't figured this out.
Well, we, my wife and I will be sitting on our front porch.
Yeah.
And across the street, it'll be raining. And our side of the street, it's not raining. So there is a definite line somewhere, and you just can't figure it out.
Have you, maybe this is a topic I should have said I want to talk about because it's becoming, well, I'll say that a couple of things I'd like to talk about today are things that are kind of in the background of everybody's world right now, but you just sit back and you think, like, how long before, you know, type of thing. One of them is this cloud seeding or something, what is this called?
Oh, for rain?
Yeah, yeah, and it's... And what they've been doing is, it's been happening a long time, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're not paying attention to it. But it's literally dropping chemicals, you know, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it doesn't sound healthy to me. I got tomatoes growing in the backyard, and now they're theoretically being covered by some kind of chemical.
Sure, and they're as big as pumpkins, so.
Yeah, and it's concerning. It's concerning to me, and I think this is something that I wonder, are we set up to be able to handle our concerns in a normal manner? In other words, does it have to really get to a break point before you, or can you just say to somebody, hey, you know what? I need you to pay attention to that.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I'm no scientist, but I have my own theory on global warming.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, like I say, I don't know, but when we were in school when I was a kid.
Yeah. But you were riding on a chariot back in those days.
That's right. Yeah. We rode on a chariot, but they had some, you know, Plato was pretty smart.
Yeah.
But we were always taught that trees absorb carbon dioxide, and they give off oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look around, just in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know China and India, they're big manufacturing countries. Even that wouldn't affect the world.
Right.
Look at just in America, how many trees we've cut down to put housing developments in, or, you know, big factories or big cities that we started. So we're cutting down all that exchange. There's more carbon dioxide going up And, you know, they're worried about cow farts, basically ruining the atmosphere, which the animals have been around since the beginning of time. I don't know. I think there's something to that. I would get an argument that, no, it's what we're doing. Now, the United States has done a lot in cutting back emissions and stuff. But I was talking with a friend of mine, and we got talking about windmills and solar panels, and they contribute to toxic waste in America. Windmills have an average life, I think they said, of 2 years, and then that goes back into pollution. You got to get rid of that stuff somehow. Solar panels, when they're done, that's pollution.
I tried to start a business collecting used solar panels.
Oh, really?
And you can't get rid of them.
No.
I don't know what people are going to do.
I have no idea
because there's so many bad chemicals in that.
Oh, yeah.
To take something the size of solar, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know.
It's like electric car batteries. Yeah. They're a big toxic waste. So, and most of these products are made from fossil fuels. All right. So we're trying to make believe that we're contributing to cleaning up the environment. And he said one of the things that Europe has done is gone atomic.
That's correct.
Nuclear. And
back to coal burn.
And that is clean.
Yeah.
And so we ought to look at some of the things that other countries are doing, because, you know, we're a great country.
Yep.
But we may not be the smartest kid on the block.
Well, it's also, I think, it's how we introduce something. For example, you know, we'll go back to the solar panels, you know, or even the windmills. You know, I'll give you a great example. Germany, just around the time that, remember Assad?
Syria.
So Germany was, and I was involved in it personally, or professionally, I guess. They saw that pollution was a problem, and so they went headlong into it, and they created a tremendous amount of solar fields and a tremendous amount of wind fields as well. And they could not sustain the demand for electricity, because what Germany had done is they brought 750,000 Syrians in to help with the production. They were losing all their young people, and so their older people were, you know, they needed care. They needed a lot of things. So they're looking for to augment the workforce, so they brought in 750,000 people. Well, sounds good on paper. Same thing as it sounds good about windmills. It sounds good on solar. But the practice is, does it? We don't study it first. We don't. We rush into something so quickly, and then we stand back like, oh my God, what did I just do? Right? And the same thing with electric cars. I love the idea of electric cars. It's not going to ever come close to what I think we were told it was going to be, and or demanded that it was going to be. But I think we need to, we need, you know, it's like the tail wagging the dog, as they say, Rick. You get to this point where you got people saying to yourself, well, we got to do this because of saving them. Like, I've been, you know, been on the earth not quite as long as you, but nothing has. But the idea is, it seems to me that we're not going to have this doom and gloom like they projected. I was watching something online the other night. It was a guy talking about this. Oh, you know, this and that. The icebergs are going to flip this and that. And I too believe that we're damaging our Earth, and we have to be very careful. And I, to this day, I believe that. But we've gone way in one direction, and now all of a sudden reality sets in, and you realize this guy was reading a report from 1922.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing that Greta could be reading in Europe. And it's not, it's cyclical, but we've got to be consistent on how we handle the decision making, because we get to that pendulum where we go so far in one direction, all of a sudden you're like, holy cow. And like Germany's dealing with 750,000 Syrian immigrants.
Yep.
Guess what? 500,000 of them are on social programming. So they came and exacerbated the problem. They're not part of the workforce.
No.
They're actually part of the
expenses. Well, what I also look at, and this is one of the things I learned over 4 years when I had this friend of mine in my life from China. Their transit system is awesome. I mean, their speed train, their bullet trains can get from probably here to California in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go.
Well, they have, and I was in China a lot, so I can testify to that point. The bullet train, which I did ride, was pretty cool.
Yeah,
got to the airport, but the idea is what they can accomplish because they're told that's what they're going to do.
Right,
it's the form of government that makes them like. They'll come in and say, you're now going to move halfway across town because we're going to use this spot for something else.
Right.
And there's no saying no.
So well, no, I'm talking about their innovation and how to create that and do it. I mean, we just can't seem to, on our existing transit, we can't make it better. I mean, it's just our public transport is bad. You want to get some cars off the road, then make your public transportation better. Yeah. And we just don't have that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I was noticing California has been trying to put a bullet train in for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how much money's being spent on that. But I agree with you. If we could nail down just on energy, I agree. I think hydrogen's going to play a role in the car business. And I also think nuclear power is coming back in a very... substantial way to the point where it'll be almost local.
Well, it should.
In your house.
I mean, yeah, it should. Sooner or later. I mean, right now they're having problems with electric cars burning down houses, plugging in into your home. So we can't figure that out
yet.
Well,
the biggest challenge I have is getting the electricity to the chargers.
Yeah.
That I had firsthand experience. I worked for Shell for 2 years in the electric car business. And, you know, all these great initiatives, all these great subsidies to get it all done. You sit there and like, I can't, National Grid, for example, they couldn't provision the power because there just wasn't enough on the pole.
Right. And our grid is not
that
great.
Right.
Our grid's not that great.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. 518-580-5783. If we get around to it, which we probably will, I want to get into some baseball because the Toronto Blue Jays just signed they call him a top pitcher, but they signed a free agent who pitched for the San Diego Padres.
I saw that. Yeah.
$210 million for 7 years. And but this is how polluted free agency gets, though. Now, the guy, they said he joins a terrific rotation. He is 30. He went 8-12, which is nothing to write home about.
Look at his ERA.
ERA 4.55.
But look at his ERA in Boston and his ERA in New York.
Right. 32 starts last season. But he struck out 215 batters and only walked, 71. In 168 innings. That's not a bad stat.
No, not at all.
But he spent the first 5 years with the Chicago White Sox, and he went 14-8 in 2022 with a 2.20 ERA, despite leading the majors in walks. Finished second in that year's Cy Young ballot. But I want to get into that because we've got some good free agents coming up. And the Yankees made an offer to somebody they really didn't want to sign, but now they have to because he accepted the offer.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting because there's a young, well, not young, 27-year-old, which is still young. I mean, I wish I was 27 again.
Me too,
but in baseball, you know, that's getting up
there.
You're
getting close to 127.
Yeah, I am, really. And that got me in trouble a month ago. But... he's a great pitcher, Japanese pitcher, and I'm hoping the Yankees can land him. He already the Giants are making a huge pitch for him because they want to compete with the Dodgers, who seem to keep on winning. So anyway, we'll get into that. There's a couple of things I want to talk about Saratoga first. Saratoga is facing a 4.53% increase in property taxes. And I forget what her name is.
Manita.
Manita Savani, who's a professor here at Skidmore. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't think she knew what she was doing as our commissioner of finance, as I didn't think the previous commissioner of finance knew what she was doing. They don't raise taxes. We haven't had a tax increase, I think, in about 12 years. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we got a 4.51. Mm-hmm. And, as normal, she didn't run for reelection. Mm-hmm. But she got elected as a county supervisor, which I believe with her track record for the city isn't going to be very good. Mm-hmm. Representing the city at the county level. I have nothing against her. She's a nice person, but I don't think she can. She's very good at legislating, which is what you have to do in this crazy form of government.
I would agree with you. I mean, I was really excited. A friend of mine was elected as the commissioner of finance, Joanne Kiernan.
Yeah.
And she is as solid a candidate for that job as we've had in 30 years. And God bless him. I was Matt McCabe's campaign manager, but he ran a guitar shop, and finance was a little bit above his head. But he was a hell of a legislator, a nice guy, and really in touch with the public. Yeah. And God rest his soul. But the idea is Joanne is just going to do wonderful things. She's got a very down-to-earth, very straight focus. She's been in the world of finance for a long, long, long time. But more importantly, she has been in city government now for like the last 4 years as the deputy
mayor. Yeah.
And that gives her some insights, number one. Number two, she has a working relationship now with John Safford, who is now our second or third term mayor.
Yeah, second term.
And so that'll go well, because let's face it, we've both been involved with this for so long, Rick. It's the civility that's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And we can talk about it all we want, but until they put it to practice, it's a comedy. It's not even a comedy. It's a sad state of affairs, because practical things never seem to get done, and it's because of the infighting. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't understand that, we've had how many tax increases over the last 5 years?
I don't think we had
any. I think if you look back, we do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we had any when Madigan was in, and she was in for 10 years.
Right.
And we always, I remember meeting with Scott Johnson, who was a former mayor, and I said, why don't you have a 0.5% increase every year?
Yeah.
At least it's not a shock where you're going to get a 4.51 percent increase in 1 year.
Yeah.
And he says he couldn't figure it out. But they do that so they can get reelected again.
Oh, of course.
And, they run off of our budget surplus. So when our surplus gets down to nothing, then they have to scramble and raise taxes.
Yeah.
I don't know what I didn't realize we had a tax increase over the last 5 years. I honestly didn't think we had one. But, they just ate away at that budget surplus.
Oh, and it's ridiculous how, when you look at the spending and the amount of money that we waste with our inefficiencies, let's forget about just an expense. You've got five different teams running in five different directions. Nobody talks to each other. So when something happens, it's catastrophic in many ways. And so you're just throwing money after this.
Yeah.
But instead of somebody saying, how do we drive costs out of this? We've got a water system that's I hate to say it using a pun here. It's draining our resources. The amount of money that's being spent managing our water system and amount of money that's being returned to the water system, it's a pathetic return.
Oh, I know.
Pathetic. And I mean that factually. I mean, there was one time, not too long ago, we were losing 32% of the water that we produced.
Yep.
32%. Imagine any business shipping us something, and then 32% of their finished product falls off the truck on the way out the door.
Yeah, I know.
But we're talking millions and millions of gallons of water every day, and we're mismanaging that and have forever.
And we're worrying about where are we coming up with our clean drinking water. We're getting into a very precarious position. One of the other things that we have to be concerned about that is a change this year. If you paid your property taxes early, you got a 2.25%, 2.25% discount they took that away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for years and years, you had that 2.25% discount if you paid your taxes early. You got it, which is a good, you know, a good thing. So basically, for people that did pay their taxes early, which I don't know how many, your taxes are going up 6.75%.
Yeah.
And I don't know the reasoning behind that 2.25% discount. You think you'd want your money sooner than later. And that was a great incentive to have people pay their taxes early. But the budget went up by $1 million. And the increases are health insurance, retirement, and liability insurance. And the liability insurance went up $1 million 2 years ago because of a we had a mayor who fired our what was she there? I can't think of her name now. She was great. I mean, she was our she oversaw all the expenditures of the departments. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Rivers.
Oh yeah, Marilyn.
All right. Yep. So he got rid of Marilyn Rivers, and right after that, our liability insurance went up $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Our retirement, our retirement is unreal. I don't know. I went back in time. Somebody said I had a thing happen to me where somebody sent me an item in the mail and didn't, no return address, you know, it was just something stupid. But they said, well, how could they get your name and address? So I did a search. I put my name in Saratoga Springs in, and my name popped up. And, of course, the idiots, when they spelled my name, was R-I-C, and they left the P out of Thompson. But and it was an article about I spoke during a charter change thing, and I said that elected officials should not get health insurance benefits after office. I don't even believe they should get it while they're in office myself, because the city offers a Cadillac plan. And I think the last time I checked with a former mayor, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 an employee a year.
52% of their base salary.
52% of their base salary. Okay, so it's gone up.
It's gone up. Substantial, yeah.
And so it's gone up $1 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work 10 years or more, which they may have changed for city employees, they had to work more than that.
Used to be 20.
But if you, it used to be 20. Now it was 10. They lowered it to 10 years. You were vested and you got health insurance benefits for life.
Yeah.
Well, they pass that on to elected officials. If you're in office for 10 years, you get health insurance for life, no matter how old you are. And so I was fighting against that. I said, really, elected officials should not get health insurance benefits for life.
Right.
I mean, you want to serve in office, you know, great for you. I give you a lot of credit, but maybe they should get a little bit more in a yearly salary than they do. But I don't think health insurance benefits for life when you're 50 years old or in your 40s, you know, the city has to pick up that tab for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's probably where they got my name, because when we were doing a lot of work at charter change, we were in the paper an awful lot. But it's just crazy that the money that is spent in the city.
It's
60% of our budget goes to the Department of Public Safety, $38 million.
Mm-hmm.
18% goes to the Department of Public Works, almost $12 million. 8% to the Mayor's Department, $5 million. 6% to the Finance Department and IT, almost $4 million. 5%, $3 million to the Recreation Department. And 3% to the accounts department, that's $2 million. The rest of the Budget's distributed to the city center, $3,500,000. Water, $5 million. Sewer, $6 million. The capital budget, almost $2.5 million. And others, which include the debt, $7 million. They've got to be, and I think a lot of this is because they don't know how to manage. I mean, we don't have they don't have to in this form of government. And I don't want to get into the form of government too much, but we don't have people that are held accountable. And I was talking with somebody the other day about how this charter how this charter commission is coming along. Nobody knows.
Nope.
Unless you watch them on TV, nobody knows. And they've been going on now for almost a year. And you've got people that are on this commission that were in office 30 years ago that aren't, that's when they left office. And a lot's changed in 30 years.
Sure.
So they're the ones that are making the decisions on how this form of government should be modeled. And they have no clue.
No.
And that's what scares me. And, you know, I was told, oh, Rick, you're going to be surprised in a good way what they're talking about. And I said, all right. I mean, I'm getting too old to even care anymore,
yeah.
Which I shouldn't because we were so involved. But it just irritates me to see how much waste there is in city government because of mismanagement. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you know, the deputies really could run the departments. They do now. And if they had a department head that had oversight, we would be fine. Joanne is a perfect example. I mean, she's a businesswoman who was deputy mayor. And so she was involved in quite a few things. And now she's finance commissioner. And she's going to do a great job.
She's going to take a huge pay cut.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But again, it's, you know, almost every element of government is non-sustainable. Whether you look at school departments, local government, national government, it's just if you ran that as a business, you would fail. But instead of the fact that we can just keep, you know, printing money or raising taxes, and it just instead of say like, no, stop. But again, people are, number one, are afraid to stand up, which, you know, firsthand, as do I, that as soon as you stand up, the tomatoes start to get blown. But so it's like, what do you believe in type of thing?
And yeah.
And I guess that point, you look at an employee, I don't care what city, but they say they work for 20 years. They start with a city at 21 years old. By 41 years old, they're retired, and they're getting a substantial pension. A substantial pension.
Oh, yeah.
And they leave, or they take another job. And so now we're paying them. So how long does a 41-year-old live? Another 50 years?
Right.
So you're paying a pension for 50 years on someone who worked for you for 20.
Yeah.
And the same thing holds true in the Teachers Association. I mean, you look at this and go, like, it doesn't make business sense.
No,
And they're so lucrative.
Now, here, I want to compare this with, I've fought, as you did, for a city manager in the last couple charter changes. And right now, I would take a mayor, to tell you the truth, but not that I would love it, but I'm going to take an example of the county, which runs a city manager form.
Mm-hmm.
You got a county administrator who runs the departments, oversees the department heads to run the departments, and your supervisors are the council. All right, they have a tax. They lowered their taxes. It's the 5% reduction in your property taxes, the county.
Mm-hmm.
And now that shows me that they know what they're doing and they know where to cut the waste.
They manage their income.
Right.
They manage their income. They manage their expenses too, but they know how to make money.
Right. So here you go, the difference in a wealthy city, and we are wealthy. I mean, the Times Union did a survey from a national, got figures from a national thing. And Saratoga Springs is considered a very wealthy community.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody who lives here is wealthy. I am not wealthy by any means, mm-hmm. even starting with a W.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, housing is between $450,000 and $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Rents are, you know, a little high. The cost of doing business in Saratoga is high.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to be, I consider out of hand when I moved up here in 86. I mean, my wife was born here and grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
And the city evolved. It changed from a family type community where you'd go downtown and know people. And tourists would come in. And we did tourists. But now, it's strictly a tourist city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go downtown, it's forget it, you know. But I do have to say that we have a beautiful downtown and fantastic stores. I'm not knocking that. And by the way, I do want to say this because I am going to go down to Impressions after because I have a few things I want to get for Christmas. That if you do shop local, I think most of the stores, if not all, are offering some really big discounts. I know Impressions and the Dark Horse have a 25% discount, which is, is huge. And if you stop in and see Maddie, just tell her that you heard this on Rick's show. Because Maddie's been on the show. She's one of my favorite guests. She's a sweetheart. And she runs the two stores. And, you know, I do a lot of shopping there because they're prices are good, and they're, you know, they have a wide assortment of stuff. So shop local today. Black Friday was yesterday, and it's always followed by shop local Saturdays. So if you do that. But anyway, that's that about the city. One of the other things before we get into a couple items that you wanted to talk about here is that the city, here again, the inefficiency of the city, which irritates me like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We built the parking garage on Woodlawn Avenue. There was a flat parking lot. So they took most of that, built the parking garage, and left, I don't know how many parking spaces there. Well, when they made the entrance to that parking lot to go into the garage, you can't fit two cars side by side.
Yeah.
And this was, I don't know how long the parking garage was there. Skip Scirocco was our commissioner of public works then. And I said, why don't you make that wider? I mean, you get four cars going to take a left, you're back out on Church Street. I mean, it's so, could never get anywhere. So about 3 years ago, our supervisor, Matt Veach, who's been on the show quite a bit, secured a $50,000 grant for the city to widen that entrance. All they had to do was take one tree down on the side, one parking spot, and you could get two cars in and out of there, no problem. Well, so 3 years has gone by, nothing's happened, and now the county is going to recall that $50,000 for non-use. So here you had the city able to widen that parking garage opening. It wouldn't have cost them a penny. And we're going to lose that. Now, that is inefficiency in form. And that irritates me because I was fighting for that for so many years, and we got that grant, and we're going to lose it. And I tell you, I'm losing everything in my life here.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
I'm gonna throw something at you. Can you name the last year the city of Saratoga Springs published an economic development report?
No.
It's never done.
Never done.
Last I checked, at one point, not so distant, the top paid employee was our economic development director.
Okay.
Now, granted, he had other duties, but my point is, if you get serious about making money and stop, well, I would say stop, but focus on a portion of your business making money. And I can give you 50 examples of how we're not set up to do that yet. We're sitting there going, this isn't our first tax increase, by the way. We've had probably three in the last 6 years.
All right.
So the reason I say that is even with a surplus raising tax. Now, the state of New York wants you to raise your taxes every year. In fact, we've paid penalties because we don't raise our taxes. But It's not because we don't want to or don't need to. It's because we want to make sure we get elected again, which is, like, again, the tail wagging the dog. But if you looked at an economic development report or an economic development strategy, you'd see progress in areas where people could flourish.
Yeah.
And we just don't. We don't do it, and we don't demand it be done.
And we make money all over the place. I mean, we have so many hotels.
Right.
We make a bed tax.
13.25%.
Right.
13. Most of it goes to the county, though.
Right. But we still make money on it. But anyway, it's just, that parking garage thing really irritates me because I was pushing it for so long. And Matt was on the show, and he said, I've got some good news for you, Rick. He said, we got a grant for $50,000 to widen that. And he kidding around, he said, we're going to call it Thompson Way.
Yeah, I said,
don't you dare.
Yeah.
It's just infuriating that they didn't use it. And I think what happened is, because of this form of government, the money went into an account and nobody knew what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have five different departments that have no clue. But anyway, hey, let's talk about AI.
Oh, yeah, I wanna,
one of the subjects you wanted to talk about.
I got to tell you, I am a junkie for AI right now. And I'm sure I'm late to the party, but the idea is, I've been using it while we've been talking, looking up certain things, and on this thing called ChatGPT. And people our age aren't early adopters of
what's it called?
ChatGPT.
Okay.
And there's a variety of AI providers, but you can type in a question, and you know, is it similar to a Google? And you see Rufus and all these other smart technologies that are being used. And it's very similar. And there are others that are more specific to certain applications. But at your fingertips, you can get almost, like I typed in, has Saratoga Springs published an official economic development program? Good question. I found no clear evidence that Saratoga Springs has recently published a standard official economic development program under that exact name. What I found, however, was, probably not.
Is Brad still?
No,
he's not. He's
no,
gone.
No, gone. But you know, but this AI is, it's, and everybody's got, you know, the it's going to be this, it's going to ruin this, and I don't, again, in moderation, almost everything is good.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but I just find it so helpful. I'll give you an example. I'm a member of a thing called Hilton Grand Vacation. You buy into a property, and then that property isn't necessarily, it's not like a timeshare where you get 1 week in Myrtle Beach, you know, in April. This is, you use the whole thing. And I'm new to it. And so I really didn't know how to operate. And it's a pretty good deal. But the thing is this, so I went on to ChatGPT and said, how does this, you know, the Hilton Grand Vacation program work? I got 11 pages worth of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it really did. It explained from a person from the outside looking in, explained the program to me that I'm sure Hilton wouldn't say the same thing. Not that it was negative. It just talked about trading points and all that kind of stuff. But I learned more in 15 minutes than I thought would be in 15 weeks. Because you're dealing with, you know, an office, you got to call, get some information.
Right.
Yeah. I type in just about everything. And what I'm noticing is that people, of course, the kids have used this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, you know, using it on their tests and they're, you know, but certainly like ChatGPT puts a watermark. So when you say, give me a story about the American Indians in 1852, out comes this massive amount of information, but these kids are just copying and pasting and put it into a...
Well, most definitely, because the information you get on it, that's what they're doing. And I mean, I think professors and teachers have to figure a way to get around that because, you know, I know a lot of them do it. And but, you know, see, I think I'm beyond the point of learning. You know, the older you get, the less... you understand things. I mean, when VCRs first came out, I could wire speakers into it around the house and that. And not, Then I got to a point where I had my daughter do it. I could hook up stereo on that. And my, you know, and yeah. I think as you get older, you lose. I don't know if it's you just don't care about it, so you don't put enough effort into learning about it. Mm-hmm. But this AI, I mean, these kids. I'll give you an example. I had this this friend of mine who got in a little tiff, and in 4 minutes or less, and I didn't know it at the time, but got into, through my phone, got access to my computer. Could get into my computer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw article or, you know, files opened up and things. And I said to myself, that is amazing that such a young kid mm-hmm. has the ability to do that. But that's what's going on today. These young kids know everything in and out, anything to do with tech. And it's scary because the little kids today are even into it. Yeah. And what are they going to be like when they're teenagers or 20, 25, 30 years old? It's just developing so fast that, and they're getting smarter, smarter.
Well, it's interesting that we started this conversation talking about power, energy. My understanding, and I have no data, I'm sure I could look it up on ChatGPT or some of the other ones, how much increase in power is demand because of this kind of stuff. These computing centers are big.
Oh, yeah.
And they're drawing a tremendous amount of electricity. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? I don't know. But it's clear that the usage of this type of technology has some ramifications to the power grid. I mean, if you look at, you know, we've seen a significant increase in power cost. And I was looking at something this morning, and I think Amy Klobuchar put out something that shows this enormous issue about the cost of electricity. Well, if you look at it, the spike in electricity cost mostly happened over the last 4 years. Not the last 8 months. Now, granted, it's probably still at one of its all-time high, but the point is that it's been going that direction for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because we keep messing up with it. You know, we run into the first shiny object and think that's going to save the world, whether it's the planet, whether it's the electricity, whatever. And instead of saying, let's think about this for a minute. Let's step back here and say, how does this impact? You know, what's it? I mean, there's always going to be surprises. But by the same token, when you go back, it's like, you know, we're not calling it global warming. Now, that was climate change. Now, you know, we're all going because what we are sold down is not coming true.
Right.
Right. And the same thing with electricity. It's like, you know, Governor Hochul had, you know, all new houses in the state of New York had to be all electric. There was no gas. Like, I don't know how you're going to do that. First of all, if you can't charge a car in your neighborhood, how are you going to force everybody to say, okay, get the, you know, I don't think you're going to make people get rid of it. But
no.
The replacement, it sounds good, but right. When you look down in the details, they say the devil in the details, that's when it falls apart. But we don't look at the devil in the details first. We just like, oh, isn't this going to be great? I call it feel-good legislation. Feels great. Oh, we're going to save the planet. Great. Well, who would want to do that?
Well, I'll give you an example of things that evolved. It used to be when you built anything in Saratoga or on the outskirts, your building had to have a setback.
Yep.
Okay, now they're building the buildings right up. They're shortening the sidewalk, the width of the sidewalk, and they're up, almost near the road. I mean,
well, that's a transect zone. That's
well,
what I mean, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You even housing developments now, they're looking that way. Mm-hmm. But they are clear cutting on Rowland Street up near Geyser Road, mm-hmm. and right next to where they're building that new county complex, mm-hmm. they're putting 500 apartments in there. 500 apartments with retail on the bottom. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to see the joker that did a traffic impact study on that, because you got the airport in back of you. Geyser Road and Rowland Road are heavily trafficked now. I don't know how you're going to get 500 apartments. Now, I'll grant you, 500 cars aren't coming out at one time, but there's going to be a good number. It's mind-boggling. They don't do the investigation anymore.
My experience with traffic studies, they're hired by the developer, first of all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the town voted it down.
Yep.
He gave the town $3 million for some project they were working on. They approved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but it is. It's difficult to, we all operate on the logical side. And maybe there's not a whole lot of data that we have. And data certainly helps you make a good decision. But you're right. And you sit back and going back to every point that we've talked about, you make a decision. What are the implications? What's that ripple effect? I got 500 new apartments. How many kids now going to the school district? That's 60% in the city of Saratoga Springs. That's 60% of your tax bill.
Yeah.
So, it's like how many, they can't get bus drivers or they can't, whatever.
How many more teachers do they need? Yeah. How many more administrators will they need? I'll tell you, knowing the bus situation a little bit, and I'm not saying that I'm an expert in it, but there are school districts that bus every other day. Today, your kids may be picked up and bus to school, while half of the other populate school kids aren't. The next day, they are bused in, and then you have to take your kids in. Mm-hmm. I would say down the road, the way it's so hard to get bus drivers, they're going to have to find a way to get kids into school.
Well,
or eliminate.
Yeah, it's especially larger school districts like Saratoga Springs. You look at the second Legion, but behind salaries, you look at the second biggest source of dollar or requirement of dollars is transportation.
Yeah.
So going back to that thing, how do we drive cost out of that? Because it's you're buying buses. 2 years ago, Hochul wanted us all to have electric buses. There wasn't a reliable electric bus manufacturer in North America, but yet it was going to be a law. Yeah. So then all of a sudden you start turning around and go, okay, so I can't get bus drivers. Buses are expensive. They're expensive to maintain. I have to replace them after certain things. If you don't get diesel, they last you a very short amount of time. But instead of going to these private bus companies and saying, hey, 50% of our bus needs are going to be, we're going to hire that out. Well, I mentioned that to a former president of the school board. Like, you got to drive costs out of the things. You're cutting back a special ed teacher so that you can get a new bus. That, to me, doesn't make sense.
No.
When we've got four or five busmen, private bus companies within a 40-mile radius, that's what they do. And between, going back, like, you now have a bus driver. I don't know what they pay them, but the fact is if they stay long, now they're in the part of the retirement plan.
Yeah, they're not. Bus drivers don't make that much for the time that they put in. I mean, it's, I don't know about public schools. It's not a full-time job. I mean, you work 3 hours, 3.5 hours in the morning, 3 hours, 3.5 hours in the afternoon, maybe. And I'm sure you could supplement that with after school activities and stuff if you want.
But where's the ETA? We've got buses driving around town empty.
But they're cutting back runs big time.
They will because we don't use them.
They're cutting back runs big time.
But it's really been something that we're rushing off to the next solution before we fix the problem that we started to.
Well, that's how we do things. I mean, I don't know. It's a no-win situation because the way everything's set up, you need what we have, and you have to pay for it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And who gets caught in the middle and hurt is the so-called middle class. Mm-hmm. And more people fall behind and need more services. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting to be crazy.
Yep.
We're going to have to get into sports in our next show.
Okay.
Maybe in the spring. Maybe I can get Jen first thing.
You know what I really want? Just before we go, though.
Yeah.
I am alarmed. I was talking with a friend of mine the other night. And he was talking about Sharia law.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And he had some alarming statistics right here in the United States. But Europe, I've known, has been going that direction for quite some time.
Well, because Europe had no borders. They would let immigrants in no matter what. And now they're facing huge problems because of this. And
is it nine? So it'll be nine mayors in England are instituting this program.
Sharia law.
Nine mayors.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you're thinking, it couldn't possibly happen. couldn't possibly happen. I mean, the things that happen under Sharia law, I mean, gay people, you're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Women, you're covered up. There's no, if you're a woman, you're a possession, not another human being. And how could anybody, at least growing up in a country like this, think that that's not going to happen to them? It may not happen to people like you and me because we'll be gone. But what about your grandkids?
It's a scary thing.
It is scary.
Especially
I don't know if anybody, everybody, you know, it's the whole, like, I'm not saying anything about Islam. I'm just saying it's like, this is a,
it's a Sharia
who brings it to the table is a controlling interest. And the thing he showed me last night was that they'll move to a town. They'll have five kids and current resident will have 1.4 kids. And that is the goal, is they're going to outpopulate and then they start making decisions.
Right. Because we're not, I mean, our thing is that the people are getting married, not everybody, but later in life because of their careers.
Yep.
And then they will have one kid or two kids. Yeah. And I know countries because I was educated by one of the Chinese friends of mine that they don't tolerate anything. Like I said, if you're gay, and this is a billion people population, you're gone. They don't tolerate it. And because they want to populate the country again. And and that's not even Sharia law, but it is scary because if you're a country that has no borders and you let people in, I mean, France is this is happening in France now, because Belgium, England, Germany, almost all of Europe had no borders. They would let anybody in that wanted to come in. And most of them were Muslim, maybe escaping, whatever. And they populate, like you said. Well, we have a state in Minnesota that I think it was under President Obama. I'm not sure. I shouldn't name any president, but they let Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Muslims. Yeah. Believe me, some of my friends. I don't mean anything bad about it, but
it's the radical.
It's the radical side. Just like there's radical Democrats, radical Republicans, radical everybody, and they gave them property because it was a lot of property needed to be developed.
People.
Yeah, and now their governance is run under this rule law, and they're having problems now in the state. So it's. You know, it's you want immigration, you want legal immigration. You don't want to open up your country to everybody because you get problems. I mean, you get people. I remember when Castro used to let his prisons out and his asylum out and let people come over to Florida, and he wouldn't let people that wanted to come over, that Florida had quite a bit of problems in Southern Florida. And then you had a lot of Cubans who became citizens in the legal channel, and they were against people coming in illegally.
Yep.
And they said, you want to come in, you come in like we did. I mean, my grandparents were immigrants.
Yep.
They came in, became citizens. And as a lot of probably you go back generations, almost all of us had parents that killed our grandparents.
The track record is one thing. I mean, in other words, if you know, how many people from Poland came to the United States over the last 75 years? Okay, I got that number. How many of those people, are productive citizens, part of the American culture, have modified the American culture a little bit here, a little bit there, but, you know, haven't changed it. But you look at the track record of this movement that's been happening for quite some time. It's staggering, what it does to the country, because most of the time, and I was just reading about this last night, if this guy told me the story, somebody from the city, I think in one of the Minnesota areas, was going into a house to do some level of inspection of some sort, And there were three women in the house, all pregnant by the same guy. And that guy had five houses on that street with the same. He was practicing Sharia law right on the street.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, and a majority of the folks that are coming in because they left a place that, let's say, like Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan's not a problem anymore. Why? Let's have them go back. They came here because they were unsafe. Now that safety has returned, why are we coming here? Why are we having this influx of a we'll call it radical side that's going to come in here and literally change America's culture? And yeah. I said, couldn't happen. No way. Look what's happened to Europe. Just go into AI and ask the impact of these radicals, what they've done worldwide. Yeah. And you sit back and you say, I don't want that to happen to my grandkids. Yeah.
And you can read articles. I mean, yeah. We're not making this up,
no,
or we're not blaming on anybody. You can read articles on how it's impacting the countries, especially small countries. I mean, we're a large country.
Yeah.
You get England, and you get Germany, yeah. and you get France, and Belgium, and they're all facing this problem. Not that immigration is bad, but you want it to be done right. And a country without borders is susceptible to having internalized being taken over.
But, Rick, when do you get to that point? I mean, you know, you look at the people who are elected now, what they say, and then you look at the people who were elected, you know, I give you, it's all about the borders. You know, I saw a thing the other night that had Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, all of them saying, we need border walls. We're a country of laws. And then all of a sudden, you know, 8 years later, it's like, oh, my God, everybody should be able to. So that flip-flop is expensive. We flip-flop, as I mentioned earlier, on so many things. And then you sit back at the end of the day and say, I went through all of this to get what?
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Chuck Schumer as one example. I never believed that he was for border walls.
Yeah. I watched a video of him saying it.
I did.
Yeah.
I went back and I saw the video and he said it. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, you can change your mind. But on something as important as that, and to blame somebody for wanting that, it's just, I believe in term limits. I believe in term limits.
Yeah.
You know, people have expertise. But after they get settled in for 20 years, 30 years, you know, I mean, it gets to be kind of where they build up walls and we don't have discussion anymore. And I don't know. It's crazy. Well, listen, thanks for coming in this morning. I appreciate it. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving and Monday is December 1st. Already, I know this year has flown by. I mean, even, you know, as you get older, time goes by faster. But I was talking to somebody probably about, I think she's about 23. I went to Dartmouth to visit a friend. And she said to me, she can't believe how fast this year went. And I said, to you? And she says, yeah. And so I don't know what's going on, if the Earth is speeding up rotation and we're going faster, but it's going by fast.
You know, you've heard me say this probably a million times, Rick, and I'll say it again. Leonardo da Vinci, who we all know is famous for so many things and so different varieties of things back in his day, which was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He had a statement that said, in balance, I can accomplish anything. Out of balance, I can accomplish nothing. And we all know the analogy of your washing machine, when you overload it, it just kind of bounces off the wall.
Yeah.
And that means you're a bit overwhelmed.
Right.
You're out of balance in a literal manner. And if everybody could just try to focus on staying balanced. You know, but we're rushed.
It's very hard in this world today. Yeah, it's very hard in this world today. We've got so many things to do and so little time that it blends in so much that you have to do it tomorrow, and then you have to do it tomorrow, and tomorrow comes too fast. And I mean, I've been off work since Wednesday. I go back on Monday. You think that's a lot of time. But now this is like a normal week. Tomorrow's it. And it just went by so blooming fast.
Yep.
And so anyway, I want everybody to have a good rest of the weekend. If you have family, still with you. Enjoy it. And tell them to drive safe or fly safe, however they're going to get back home. Skidmore students will be back on Monday for classes. And everybody have a great weekend, and we'll welcome Homer back next Saturday. And hopefully he's cleared out. Yeah.
He's a big guy. He can shovel.
Well, I'm sure he's got a shovel, but it's the roads. He said the roads weren't even plowed yet, so I don't blame him. I'd stay in myself. Yeah. But he'll be back next Saturday at his regular time, 9 o'clock. So we're going to put it on auto broadcast. And you have a great weekend, and it was fun being with you this morning. So, and Pat, as always, it's great being with you. So, and we'll see you next time, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
All right.